Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 503rd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. And don't forget to enter our Super Bowl 58 props contest. Pick 58 Super Bowl props for a chance to win $1,000. Enter today for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/SB58 or on the SGPN app.
Hi, hello, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 503 of the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. On this Super Sunday, of course, this episode has to be dedicated to all the Swifties out there. This is their big national holiday they have co-opted and taken over. So this goes out to all the Swifties, including our special little Swiftie in our Discord. You know who you are. thanks for coming to the show. As you hear, if you're not watching the video, as you hear by the chuckling, Gumby Vreeland is a real man, and he showed up to take his beating today after last night's results. Yeah, it was a fight night at the Apex. Some interesting results, nonetheless. Some interesting fights. Main event turned out to be okay. It didn't go our way, but pretty solid main event. We had some decent finishes, and then we had lots of low blows and eye pokes and all that fun stuff too, of course. So we'll get into all of that, and we'll get out of your ear holes and eye holes so you can go watch count how many times Taylor Swift is shown on the telly tonight. Let's bring in Daniel Gumby Vreeland to take that beating. He took a beating last night, and now he's gonna have to pay for his sins. It's one and only Gumby God, Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
I feel bad having made some really brutal picks this week, because I did. That's a fact. And then, although I will direct you to watch out regional episodes.
Killed it. I was going to say
Yep. Yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday, but I did good again. Maybe that's just the ones you watch. It seems like they're the only ones that get watched on YouTube. You guys are blowing up our YouTube channel every time we get regionals. But I will also say, while I feel bad for bad UFC picks, I feel a lot worse for having watched that event.
you didn't enjoy yourself last night?
I don't even just mean, like, it sucks when your picks don't hit, right? Like, we're not here trying to give you guys picks that lose sometimes, but it, you know, part of the game, right? Some days you have good days, some days you have bad days. But some of those fights were brutal. Like, that Max Griffin versus Jeremiah Wells fight, let's go ahead and get that out of the way now.
All right.
One of the worst fights I've watched in a really long... Do you know how many significant strikes were landed in that fight? Which was, by the way, just a boxing match. Because there wasn't any grappling in it, really. Nope. You know, one takedown at the end of two different rounds. Do you know how many significant strikes? Do you want to take a guess?
I thought I saw you mention the Discord that Griffin landed like 33 or something.
He did.
I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, he landed 32 significant strikes in that fight. And won. and probably rightfully won, maybe. I don't know. It wasn't an easy fight to score. But like, he landed 32 significant strikes and he was like, yeah, I felt really confident that I won. And I'm like, nobody could feel confident at the end of that fight. And also, you landed 32 punches, dude. Like,
yeah,
man, it was, that was a very hard fight to watch.
It was. Jeremiah Wells, I already was off his train. I hope you're off his train now too, because that was not a very smart performance by him.
Yeah, I don't know if I am or I'm not, though, because and I said this in the Discord, so if you're in here and you don't like me repeating myself, stop trying to hit me in so many different places. But also, he has moments where he looks amazing. None of them were in the 15 minutes in the cage Saturday.
No.
But he has moments where he looks amazing. His wrestling's good. He didn't show it. His boxing can be good. He definitely didn't show that.
Oh, no, like, he was real bad.
I don't know that I'm off him, but like, from a game plan perspective and a fight IQ, he's at least like going to be one of those ones that you have to like pump the brakes and let you love the number in front of his name, because like, you can't take him at chalk anymore.
Yeah, we're bearing the lead here. I had Griffin plus 142. So
does it feel like a really just... did he do it just like you thought he was gonna?
Yeah, it didn't feel so good, but the judges have taken enough away from me that I will accept a Adelaide Bird win here. When I heard she was on my side, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm losing this split decision. Yeah, you're not going to get another judge agreeing with her, but you did. Good old Junshiro Kamijo, I agree with her as well. So as for the media scores, Sherdog and Combat Press are the only people who had Griffin winning that fight. And then like 82% of the fans had Wells winning it as well. So
those two and Adelaide Bird agreeing is like such a good encapsulation of Saturday's whole event.
It's true. So yeah, so Gumby lost on the Jeremiah Wells pick. We'll see if I guess they'll give him another kick of the can. You think? That's two straight losses though, so you never know. I guess it's not contender season, so that will probably save his bacon at least for another day. So of course we're talking about Hermansson versus Pfeiffer, which went down last night at the UFC Apex. I heard it was going to be a closed event because Mr. Elon Musk was going to show up, but it doesn't appear to be the case.
I didn't hear that nor see that, so definitely not that.
Yeah, I heard they were going to do like they did with Zuckerberg, but it wasn't the case because there were people in the crowd as far as I could tell. It was a typical Apex card, middleweight heavy. Like I said, the main event was a bit better than normal middleweight fights. We had a couple knockouts that were decent, but yeah, a lot of interesting fight IQ, to say the least. We're not a fan of low fight IQ. And that was the case for a lot of the fights last night. Before we jump into that, Gumby, your hat. You have a different hat on today.
Oh, yeah. This one's brand new. I'm one of the first people to have one of these guys because the Atlanta Braves single A team has always been called the Rome Braves. And they rebranded this year. They decided they were going to get rid of the Braves. So this is for the upcoming season. And they had a naming contest. So, of course, with Rome, the obvious nickname that comes with Rome are the Emperors. Which is... it's an emperor penguin.
I was going to say, is that a penguin? And it is a penguin.
Yeah, the Rome emperors with a penguin is the logo, which is both clever and meant that I had to get one.
Yep. Well, there you go. And he's bragging that he's one of the first people in the whole world to have one of those hats. You know this. That's a fact, do you?
Yeah, you had to pre-order them. And I was like one of the first. Yeah, so when they finally came in, I was one of the first ones to get one.
And they should be sending you free hats, Gumby.
They should.
Yeah. We get a lot of people watching the show, especially our regional episodes. We should charge premium prices for our regional episodes. So
we don't. Yeah. All these picks are free. And this past weekend on the UFC one, you got what you paid for.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, everyone, for, like it's going to be said, blowing up. The YouTube numbers are still soaring, which is good to see. A lot of good comments from people. Thanks for watching, listening, however you consume this content. All right, we're going to... hopefully, as you're looking at your podcast catcher or YouTube, hopefully the number of the length of this episode is not too long, because it was, like I said, it was an Apex card. It was a middleweight Apex card, so hopefully we don't have to take too much time on it. Before we jump into it, I'm going to tell you about our friends at DraftKings. Today's a big day for DraftKings. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58. When is that?
I think it's today.
Oh my God, it's today. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game, the one and only big game, and turn $5 into $200 instantly. Gumby, have you looked at any picks on or any lines on DraftKings for the Super Bowl?
I would just say they're loaded up on like the most props you can find anywhere. So it's a good place if you're looking for those numbers to find them over on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's a good spot, as Gumby said in the past, to get early props for MMA as well. So make sure you check out DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SGP. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only a DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA, they got it all. Simply pick higher or lower your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, dish something up for us.
For the big game today, I'm going to go Brandon Ayuk's higher than on his receptions. They got it listed at 4.5, but I think this, for some reason, I got a feeling this is a big Brandon Ayuk game. So give me 4.5, the higher than.
All right. Whoever Brandon Ayuk is, he sets the higher than. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code MMASGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right. Main event last night was middleweight fight, Jack Hermanson versus Joe Pyfer. Hermanson came through after looking very concerned in the first round, concerned with the power that was coming back his way, the power and the athleticism and the speed. He turned around using his brain, old man. The old man brain came through 48-47 across the board. We were saying this is a big step up for Pyfer, but we were thinking this was one that he could handle because, as I said, the athleticism, I don't know why that's a hard word today, but it is athleticism, power, the speed would win the day for him, overwhelm Hermanson. It did briefly, but then the fight continued past one round.
Yeah, and I don't know that this makes me any lower on Pyfer than I already was, too, right? Because, like, and I don't mean I was already low on him, but, like, it doesn't make me lower than lower on my thoughts on him. Because let's face it, like, he's always going to be that, like, hyper-athletic, hyper-powerful guy, and we might question what happens late into a fight, at least until he proves us wrong, you know, DDP style, right? Dragos Duplessis, we kind of had that same formula for him. Like, we don't know what his ceiling is until he gets into some late rounds and proves to us he can do that. Piper failed the first test of it, but like he's also still pretty young in his career. And, you know, like it looked good early on. It might be a pacing thing. He just needs to not throw so many of those big shots. It, you know, like it could be a lot of different things. I don't think this changes how I feel about Hermanson either, right? Like I said, he couldn't wrestle Piper. It didn't really seem like he could. You know, he didn't seem like he was throwing any big shots back. He just like was able to rack up the volume and worry a little bit less and late in the fight. And I don't know, kind of just is what it is. You know, it sucks that Piper didn't get a chance to like bring us some fresh faces to the top of this kind of crappy middleweight division. But I don't think he's going anywhere either.
No, UFC is firmly invested in him. So, yeah, I don't think there's much else to say really about the fight, right?
I mean, it was big power early and guy got tired, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
Not overly. I think he was doing a pretty good job pacing himself, but you know,
but I think I don't know.
Up and,
yeah. I don't know necessarily that it was like tired in the traditional sense that he right. like couldn't throw, but I think Hermanson was feeling it less on the return. You know, like when Hermanson got hit early, he was like, oh damn. And like back
saw in his face, he did not, he was worried. Yeah.
And then when he would get hit late, he kind of almost walked through him. So like, I don't know that it was tired in that Piper couldn't throw anymore or looked like he was, you know, lethargic, but it just like the zip on his punch wasn't there anymore.
Yep. Very, very true. All right. Doesn't matter what's next for either person at this point. Really. It doesn't.
The middleweight
does not make. Yep. Hermanson's not making a title run and Piper needs more seasoning.
So. I'll give Hermanson the winner between Kai Bohio and Paul Craig.
Okay. I saw he was asking for Nasruddin Imavov, which works as well. So
it's sure. Sure, why not?
They're all interchangeable parts.
Yeah, pretty much.
More than any other division. All right. Co-main event didn't last very long. But boy, Dynamite Dan exploded that dynamite on Andre Feely. He deaded him with the knockout punch, and then the ref made him finish up more on the ground, unfortunately, for Andre Feely, but he seemed okay after the fact. It only took 243. We said we had Ige at minus 170. We said, or at least I said, I think you said as well, his power on the feet could be the difference here, and I expected him to be a better striker. Plus, he was fighting someone who is big for the weight class, who is cutting down on short notice. So that's not good for the brain, and neither is Dan Ige's right hand.
Yeah, and this was actually half of our Hungry Man at plus 250.
Yep.
So it's a good thing if you got that on its own, not so much if you paired it with Jeremiah Wells, yes. who we already talked about. Yeah, no, Ige continues to be a guy who's finding more and more power late in his career. I think he's just more comfortable letting it go, and this was, I mean, like the right spot. You know, we said on the show on Thursday that Feely just tends to stay there a little bit too long in exchanges, which is a bad recipe against a guy like Ige. So, again, I don't mean to hate on Ige and Jack Hermanson, but like we've kind of already seen his ceiling, haven't we? Like we've already seen where he goes to in the division. So it's like it's not even fun to manage, you know, like fantasy matchmake this guy right now.
No.
It's like, you know, give him another guy who's on the cusp of not being in the top 15 or being in it. See if he turns them away. Yeah, I don't know.
Gatekeepers, not in a bad
sense. Even yeah, not even gatekeeper to the top. It's like gatekeeper to the middle.
No. Yes. Of the rankings, maybe the lower half of the rankings. They're gatekeepers too. But yeah, if you don't beat them, you're not moving up into the upper echelons.
Nope.
So lucky we got that. This one was one of our worst beats of the night, or one of our worst reads of the night. I don't know, even know what to call it. Ihara Pachiera came down a weight class on short notice, did not make weight. So he had the short notice thing against him, which is heavily in favor of his opponent. The weight miss is another one that, which is heavily favors the opponent. The opponent was a guy that I wouldn't call him a prospect, but a guy who was pretty explosive. And we thought he was going to be able to knock out Pachiera. Did not happen. He almost he got rocked as often as his opponent did, Robert Brychak. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. This one made me angry, Gumby. This was a bad take.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about him.
How can we predict this though, for real?
I don't know. I feel like he could also He could also really wind up being like Bogdan Guskov, who we'll talk about in a second here, or maybe yeah. we can just jam these into the same talk. Because Bogdan Guskov had maybe the worst debut you could possibly see. He looked like a fish out of water. He came over as this prospect who we were saying, like, man, he's got big KO power, and they're matching him up with Volkan Ozdemir right out of the gate. What an exciting thing to do. And granted, they didn't give Brajic the same kind of opponent right out of the gate.
No. But
we were like, this dude looks bad at fighting. He looks way worse than he looked in Octagon. And granted, maybe Poitiera is a step up from the guys he fought, but I didn't even really think so. But like, he could also come in his next fight and flatline a guy like Guskov just flatlined Paunga. You know what I mean? Like he's got big power, and he looked bad in a debut, but could it be just like, change of promotions, the bright light the first time? Maybe. Or maybe he sucks. I don't really know. I guessed that Guskov sucks. That was my pick this week, too. Let's roll this into one so that we can get both of those terrible fights out of the way. Yeah. I guessed that Guskov sucked and was just a power puncher and nothing else. And I was wrong on the second fight. So, like, could we all be writing Brajic off a little bit early? Maybe. But also, maybe he's terrible.
And we are writing off Zach Paunga after getting knocked out by Bogdan Guskov, 338 into the first round. He's not a light heavyweight, first of all. When you see him, he's like so tiny compared to light heavyweights, but maybe he's
going to fight a heavyweight.
I know he did, yeah. Anyway, he's going to be a regional light heavyweight after his UFC run, unfortunately, but it's true.
Yeah, I just, that one to me too, and again, probably writing Guskov off too early because he's, his first fight looked a lot like Brajic, where he looked like a fish out of water. And here, I'm also just going to say, for Paunga, it was a fight IQ thing. Like, is there any reason not to be shooting doubles on that guy? He didn't go for a takedown until he was stunned. Not one takedown until he was stunned, and then he was stunned. And so he was, like, reaching for one, and then he was super stunned and had already failed on one takedown, and that's when he got pieced up. I think leaning forward for another takedown, but he never got close enough for me to actually know if that's what it was.
Don't lean. Gumby has told everyone, don't lean.
Any direction.
It makes Gumby very angry. Don't lean in any direction. It's true. All right. We're getting all the crappy fights out of the way, right? This one went our way. Middleweight, Gregory Rodriguez TKO'd Brad Tavares 55 seconds into the third round, and it was my prop of the week. Rodriguez, via knockout plus 230, and he got it done for me. Gumby and I both had him on the money line as well. At minus 238, doesn't really, as we said about other fighters already, doesn't really show us anything different about Gregory Rodriguez because he fought how he fights, and that's the type of fighter he is.
Turned up the pressure and threw a bunch of bombs. Yep. Yeah. I would say I liked his defense a little bit better in this fight. I don't know if it's just because he's fighting Brad Tavares and he wasn't worried about being knocked out by a guy who has two knockouts in the last 13 years, one of which being Phil Baroni. Shout out Phil Baroni. Actually, don't shout out Phil Baroni. He's in prison for murder, right?
He is.
Yeah, don't shout out Phil. He's definitely not listening. So, no. Yeah. Anyway, after that tangent, he wasn't worried about getting knocked out, so maybe his defense was better for that reason, but also maybe just like he's improving, so maybe a little higher on Hobocop.
Yep, he's gonna be fun regardless. We enjoy our Hobocop. All right, before Gumby shouts out more murderers, this gets just more more ad reads here. Super Bowl 58 props contest, hopefully you get this in your ears and eyes soon enough for that. We are running one, the SGP, folks, supersportsgamblingpodcast.com. $1,000 winner take all, free to enter. You pick 58 different props for Super Bowl 58. And you can enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/SB58 or the link in the SGPN app, which you all should have on your devices already. And we're brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a real betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money, which is always the worst part of gambling with friends. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Well, like I said, that's a big thing there. Our partners at Cut are giving away $5,000 to the user refers the most depositors by the end of Super Bowl weekend. All you have to do is invite your friends to sign up for Cut via the invite friend button on your dashboard and have them deposit before Monday. The user with the most depositor referrals will get $5,000 in site credit automatically added to their account next week. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And take your winnings there over to Game Time, and you can get yourself some tickets, even if it's last-minute tickets. Even if it's, I'm sure they got Super Bowl tickets on there. You can probably get Super Bowl tickets if you're in Vegas. Check it out, because Game Time is the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, Gumby, Choo Choo, where is this train headed to now?
I don't know.
Nowhere fun, right?
We've been doing them out of order anyway, so wherever you want to go next.
we're going to a win for me and a loss for Gumby. That was the theme of the night. I won.
We got one coming up that I won and you did not.
Okay. Right. I was thinking I skunked you, but I did not. Michael Johnson took care of Darius Flowers, who's another guy we're going to cut. Unfortunately, not up to us. All right. 30-27 across the, 30-27 across the board. Michael Johnson, he's still got it. -125. I had him at.
I will tell you the shocking part of this to me is that, okay, so maybe not shocking that he beat Darius Flowers. I picked Darius Flowers. I thought Darius Flowers' boxing looked pretty good against Jake Matthews. I stand by the fact that his boxing looked pretty good against Jake Matthews. The shocking part of this is that Michael Johnson out-wrestled this man in the year of our Lord. Like he's Michael Johnson moved up to 23-19 with this win, and he out wrestled a man in for it, which is just not anything he's been doing lately. You know what I mean? Like I mean, when was the last time he like out wrestled somebody for a win? It's a weird fight. I definitely don't think Flowers is UFC level after watching that. I kind of thought he wasn't on the Contender Series, and then I gave him a shot after that. The big learning curve for me, I think, on this card is not trusting just their most recent performance, because that was the problem with Guskov. That was the problem with Flowers. And they just maybe time to look back at the whole body of work and not assume that people learned anything ever.
There you go.
Nobody learns.
That is such a good thing to say. All right. And the opener of the main card, Gumby beat me on this. Rodolfo Vieira, like you said, maybe not base things on past fights, because I guess he's turned things around from there. I'm still living in the past. I'm still living in that.
Fluffy Hernandez.
Yes, the Fluffy Hernandez fight, Chris Curtis fight he lost to. But yeah, he's won two straight fights, took care of Armin Petrosian. Submission arm triangle choke, 448 into the first round. Did Petrosian try to do the old Armenian tap there or what? Like he was claiming he didn't tap or something? What was that?
It's supposed to be the Brazilian tap, right?
And you just I know, changed. But the Armenian tap did not work.
So. Yeah, no, it was and he stood up and got like real mad. And then I had to immediately message the Discord. I was like, he clearly tapped, right? Like it wasn't
multiple times.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. It wasn't.
Yeah,
like it was the worst fake tap I've ever seen. Yep. Did you know that set the record for most arm triangle finishes by a single person in the UFC?
Oh yeah,
Rodolfo Vieira, the first one to get four. And I told my buddy that I was like, hey, he's got the most arm triangle finishes in UFC history. He's like, he has four wins in the UFC. And I was he's got five, but yeah, four of them are by arm triangle.
You have buddies that you can talk about Rodolfo Vieira to?
Very few of them. It's the host of the other podcast.
Oh, okay. There you go. That made sense. Cause he is a grappling nerd as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Did this teach us anything, Gumby? We're talking about no one learning anything. Did this teach us anything?
No. Rodolfo's, I said I wasn't high enough on Petrosian's takedown defense to take him in this fight. He was obviously going to be the better striker. I think Rodolfo continues to get better at executing his game plan and not being like he wasn't all in on a takedown to start that fight,
right?
Like he fought safe on the feet for long enough to lure Petrosian into making a mistake, and then he capitalized on the mistake. So, like, good on Rodolfo for, like, clearly getting slowly better at his approach. But apart from that, no, like, we got a guy who's really good at grappling, a guy who's really good at kickboxing, and the grappler got him down. So, yeah, good for Rodolfo. He'll have more middleweight ass fights coming up.
Yeah. And he's not as old as he seems either. He's only 34, so he won't be 35 till like the fall or late summer. So
yeah, he's got that Marcus McGee look.
He does have that Marcus McGee look. So yeah, so we learned nothing again. This is turning into the, you know, the speech in Billy Madison where everyone's
we
dumber.
Are now dumber for having witnessed that,
That's what last night's event. That's what last night's
is event that is. Isn't that most Apex events though? And I know, like,
it's true.
I'm not who's usually like crapping on the UFC's content, because I'm gonna eat it with a spoon no matter what. That's the type of guy I am. But also
Gummy's a company man, even though the UFC does not pay him, he's still a company man.
but the Apex events, like, most of the time I walk away with being like, man, how dumb was that?
Yep. It's the place for dumb fight IQ, which it should not be the place, because you can hear your coaches loud and clear. We can even hear the coaches on the tally telling the fighters what to do, and they still don't do it. So
yep.
Like jab, for instance. A few fighters had jabs last night, which is rare in an MMA fight. Fighters who actually use their ones and their twos. So
some only had jabs.
Exactly. And that's all you needed. That's all you needed. All right. So the main card, we both went 3-3, which was good for Gumby, because wait till we get to the prelims, which is right now. The main event went okay for you. Carlos Praches. Actually, it didn't go okay until it did. Trevin Jaws was kind of handling Carlos Praches with no difficulty, even though I was falling asleep during this fight, I have to admit. And then you got knocked out. Carlos Praches knockout, one punch knockout, 403 into the second round. We had Praches at minus 250, but yeah, like I said, he wasn't doing so hot up to that point.
Well, I will say this. So I thought the same thing. I was like, I almost got up and walked away from the TV at this point, because I've been tooting the horn of Praches. I said, I think on Wednesday, that in 6 months, we're going to be talking about this guy on a high trajectory. And around in, I was like, this whole event couldn't go worse for me if it tried. But somebody pointed out, I wish I remember who it was. It was somebody pretty knowledgeable in the Discord, which is pretty much all of you guys. Thank you for being knowledgeable and smart people. Pointed out that, like, he had been setting this up the whole time. He was throwing the right hand followed by the left knee constantly. And then he basically got Giles to drop his hands waiting for the knee, and he didn't get the knee in the follow-up. He got a straight left to the chin. And so I think this is one of those instances where, like, you could look at it like Sean O'Malley versus Aljamain Sterling. Did Aljamain Sterling look like he was starting to find something there in that first round? He did, because Sean O'Malley was just goading him into doing what he wanted. And yeah, Giles hit Praches maybe more than I would have liked, but at the same time, I think he was just trying to get the reaction he wanted to open up that shot. So I'm not as low on Praches' first round after seeing how it ended.
All right. Very good. And you won't be dumber if you're in our Discord. That's for sure. There's lots of good, good analysis in there. All right. Co-main event of the prelims. I got right. Balaji Oki, split decision over Timothy Kwamba. 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. That judge is the only person I've seen who have given the fight to Kwamba, even though Kwamba thought he won. In fact, Oki won, as did I with the pick.
I thought Oki won too. Did you check MMA decisions? Was Sherdog in on Kwamba?
No one was in on Kwamba.
Oh, not even
only Sherdog. Only what Chris Lee was the only person in on Kwamba. So
yeah, I saw Adam Martin, another Canadian MMA analyst, posted. He goes, Chris Lee, what is he watching in this fight? And I was like, he's bad at judging MMA fights, like historically bad at judging MMA fights. And I still think I would take him over 5 to 6 other MMA judges. Like, he's bad and not even the worst of the bad. And that was, that was a bad one. I don't know what to say here other than, like, I think both of these guys will be fine in the UFC ultimately. Kwamba, I think, with a full camp in Balaji Oki against the guy who he actually thinks he's going to fight, because he thought this was going to be Demir Hadzovic. And Hadzovic is not like Timothy Kwamba. That's a weird switch for him. So, I think they're both going to be fine. I'd like to see a little bit more volume out of either of them. This was the least not watchable fight of the...
Kwamba was up a weight class short notice as well. So, like, he just fought last couple weeks, right?
Yeah, last week at featherweight.
Yeah, so there you go. Rough way to make your UFC debut, but that's the case with a lot of these fighters. If you don't come through the contender series, you're going to get a.
He did come through the contender series. He just
yeah, I know he didn't get a contract. Exactly. All right. Let's tell you about Hall of Fame bets, and then we'll move on with the rest of the show. Hall of Fame bets, you win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets, a revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. That's hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. We haven't talked about all the different fouls, but there's a lot of fouls last night as well. In most of these fights, it was kind of clusters of fouls, right? Yeah. Fights had multiple fouls in it. Yeah. And it kicked off that way as well. This fight, another disappointing performance. Bruna Brazil, very disappointed in her and her inactivity against Luma Lukbumi. 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. And I was even more disappointed that Brazil thought she won the fight. She had her hand up in the air at the end, which is really annoying.
So this is an annoying one here. Nobody learns anything in MMA back to this. And the part that annoys me the most about this is if you watch her first fight with Denise Gomes, the biggest problem that she had was that she didn't come forward. She didn't trust her hands. She didn't get into exchanges. Right. And so, you know, I got, obviously that was the problem in this fight too, but we got a surprise fight in the middle where she looked like she was like, I need to step through punches. In fact, in my interview with her this week, she's like, I learned that I have to take a punch to the face to give one. And she just seemed completely unwilling to do that in this fight. And it cost her. Also, to your point, it was surprising that she thought she won. But do you know that there are judges who gave her the second and there is a judge who gave her the third? And so if those judges happened to be the same person, she could have won this fight. Because our guy, Junichi Kimura, gave
our guy. Yes.
Yeah. Gave her boy. The third. Gave her the third. And you know, I thought
she kind of turned around in the end, I guess.
She won the second. I think she won the second. Kamijo did not give her the second, which is confusing as hell. But she didn't win that fight. She needed to just put her foot on the gas, and I think the power in the clinch work would have taken over. And she wasn't willing to get hit by those kicks in order to land something, and it cost her.
There's no power coming back from Lukbumi.
Not
either,
a lot.
Basically.
She's so, not like, finishing.
If you're not willing to take that, then yeah. You think they'll give her another one? She's 1-2 now in the UFC.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, she beat Shawna Bannon last fight, and it was like moderately impressive. Like she looked pretty good doing it. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she got one more against like a contender series signee or something.
Yeah. All right. So that was a disappointment, as was this one. Devin Clark stuck right to his game plan. Like you said, Gumby's, as he told you, his game plan against Marcin Prochnia was to strike the whole fight and get his legs eaten up. And that's exactly what he did. Prochnia, 30-27 across the board. Devin Clark did not do any wrestling or grappling. He tried once or twice, maybe.
Yeah, I did. It wasn't necessarily that he forgot to wrestle. It's just that, like, I don't think he looked for that moment early enough. I think, you know, like kind of the opposite of Rodolfo Vieira, who I'm like, it was really good that he struck a little bit before he went for the takedown. He just didn't spam it out there right away. I think Clark was trying to do the same thing, and then, like, he kind of missed his moments. But yeah, nobody learns anything in MMA. Nobody gets better at anything. Everything that we see that is an improvement is an optical illusion.
There you go. Devin Clark is another guy on thin ice. So we'll see if he's given another one in the UFC as well, because he's not had the best results, especially as of late. We talked about Griffin over Jeremiah Wells, split decision. I got that one. That was that kept me in pretty good steed for the rest of the evening. Bogdan Guskov took care of Zach Pounga. Told you that. Knockout with punches. Haider Emile looked very good against Fernie Garcia. TKO punches 212 into the first round, even though someone on your Discord still was not impressed by Emile. Were you impressed by Emile?
I think that's more of writing off his... So first of all, I think there's holes in his defensive striking. I think he could get hit. He was fighting a guy who's 0-3 in the UFC and was basically only getting an extra shot because he was going up a weight class on short notice to fill in for a guy. But like... Haider Emile, he was the one who was supposed to fight Melsik Bakhtazarian, right?
Yeah, and then someone else too. So he's his third opponent.
And I think Melsik finds those holes in his striking. And when I saw Haider Emile on Contender Series, I remember not being impressed and mostly being like, oh, his best weapon is the fact that he doesn't get tired. I guess he knocked him out and he put it on him, but like he also took some strikes back. He admitted that Fernie Garcia rung his bell. And like in his post fight interview, like he got stunned by Fernie Garcia, which like I liked Fernie Garcia as a prospect, but at this point in time, you have to, you know, call a spade. He's 0-3 in the UFC and now 0-4 in the UFC. Like he's on his way out. And the only person whose bell he rung in the UFC is Haider Emile. So I get why people would be low on him. I think he's kind of what I thought he was, in that he's got some power and some cardio and those are his things. And he used it against the guy who was obviously worse than him.
Yep. And then in the opener, things started in such an auspicious way for us. Daniel Marcos was cruising to a victory in a foul-filled fight, lots of low blows. And then one of the low blows, Ari Chilang did not get up from, and it was ruled a no contest. It was good to see that the professionals on the microphone, all three of them did not know the rules, did not know what this fight would be. It's good that we're being the blind leading the blind here. They had no idea whether it was going to be no contest or what the rules were, but it was a no contest, sadly.
Yeah. First of all, Daniel Marcos, beast, continues to get better. I wasn't sure he won that Davy Grant fight, but my goodness, we definitely shouldn't have read anything into his last fight, because if you did, you might have gotten off of him. And now, no, he looked like a beast against Arichi Lang, which you said it right. I was going to give you props.
I forgot last episode, I think, to say it properly.
Yeah.
So
yes. Oh, yeah, I said Aori Ki Lang or something like that. Yes. But it's Arichi Lang, which when I was watching the broadcast, I was like, oh, that's one thing that they do kind of well is say the names. Because
Daniel Cormier even said it right.
Yeah, can I just take a second to say, like, why is Dominic Cruz there? I know we don't need to fill more time in this episode, and like, but it's not even that he's just complaining about things. He does the like most unprofessional thing in the world, which is like anytime one of your co-hosts talks, you immediately stop them and say, "I'm going to stop you right there and tell you that you don't know anything that you're talking about." Yeah. And like, it just makes it generally unwatchable. Like I muted the TV more than one time, and I'm not usually like that last night. And I was like, he is just so insufferable.
Yeah. Cruz and Cormier, a bad combo. Yeah. UFC doesn't seem to care though. They don't care if their announcers know what they're talking about or annoy people. So they're going to push back. Even if they get any pushback from people complaining, that they're going to go even harder into it. So
yeah, I'll take this. I'll tell you this. I'll take Cormier's dumb statements with a yes man like Joe Rogan next to him the whole time. I'll take that over Dominic Cruz being a jackass the whole time.
Yeah. And that's the only way he can be as well. That is Dominic Cruz. So I went 7-6, only lost $137. I say only because Gumby went 5-8 and lost $517. So I am in the lead for the year. Woohoo hoo. I'm hitting 48% of my picks. Gumby's hitting 44%. I'm down 16% return on investment. Gumby's down 23%, but
they're still done.
There's definitely still time. Gumby missed. We both missed our locks. Taunga and Brysek, Brazil Petrosian locks. I mean, dogs did not hit. Brysek first round knockout did not hit for Gumby. It should have. It was a decent pick. Hadhiga's knockout hit for me +230. So that was pretty good. As for the real world, no fight of the night bonuses. Ige, he got his 50K, Gumby.
Deserved it.
Up to his nickname.
Deserved it. Last
night.
Nothing else that you could give it to outside of him and Praches, right?
Ige Vieira, Rodolfo Vieira got one. Carlos Praches got one. Bogdan Guskov got one.
So the four people with finishes?
Yeah. Haider Emile did not get one. Poor guy. He's the guy that needed it too. He would be on his opening contract. And Gregory Rodriguez did not get one either. So there you go. Not everybody.
So Max Griffin didn't get one either because he said, "Give me my money at the end."
Give me my money for my split decision sloppy win over Jeremiah Wells. Yeah. Well, he got his win bonus, so maybe that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. All right.
All right, UFC has a pay-per-view next weekend, which means we're getting a decent fight card, and they're back in California for the first time in a while, I think. UFC 298, February 17th, my brother's birthday, in the Honda Center, Anaheim, California. It's a weak fight card because you only have one title fight on the top. UFC usually gives us multiple ones, but nonetheless, Alexander Volkanovski versus Ilya Topuria. We already talked about that last week's episodes. Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa, Jeff Neal, Ian Machado, Gary, Mirab Davilishvili, Henry Cejudo, Anthony Hernandez, the aforementioned Fluffy versus Roman Kopylov. That is your main card. Prelims, Amanda Lemos, Mackenzie Dern, Marcos Rogério de Lima, Justin Taffa, Rinya Nakamura, our boy, Carlos Vera, Zhang Mingyang, Brenson Ribeiro. And then the early prelims, Josh Quinlan, Danny Barlow, Oban Elliott, Val Woodburn, because there's no lawns to take care of this time of year, I guess. And then Andrea Lee, Miranda Maverick. Thoughts?
I like it. I know some people, like you said, are a little pissed that there's not two title fights on it, but you know, like that's not always what they're doing nowadays. And there's also enough prospects on here where I'm like, oh, that guy is genuinely interesting to see what they're gonna be like. That Zhang Mingyang versus Brenson Ribeiro fight is a pretty sick one. I know most people will have not heard those names. One of those guys fought on Contender Series with a pretty devastating knockout. The other one fought on Road to the UFC, but not as part of a tournament bout, is like a showcase fight, and knocked the crap out of George Tokos, who is a pretty nice prospect in his own right. So that should be a pretty fun one to break down and to take a look at.
There you go. You'll know those names if you have listened to this show, because we've talked about both those gentlemen before. All right, that's next week. Before then, we've got a regional episode tomorrow, Monday. We're going to cover KSW, so make sure you get that in your eyes and ears. Thanks for watching and listening this episode. If you're not already, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get our subscriber numbers up. Our views are, and our view time's way up, but we got to get our subscribers up as well. If you can help with that, that would be great. Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter is MMASGPN. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there. And on Instagram, my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe, play my weekly UFC pick'em contest for free. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. He's already told me he's got a interview in the can that I'm going to enjoy coming up. So can't wait to hear that this week. Dude, this week coming up.
Yeah, so this week coming up, we're going to be talking to Danny Barlow, who we just mentioned is going to be on that UFC 298 card. And I'm going to be talking to LFA title challenger Shannon Clark, who's always a good time too.
All right, so get that in your ears, Top Turtle MMA Podcast. And of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right, we'll be back, as I said, tomorrow. It will be me, Twilight, Jeff Fox, and the Zulu Warrior, Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.